time. God can rebuild. He can repair. He can transform, upgrade. Yeah, He can upgrade you and provide new beginnings. I hope you're planning to attend a church of meaningful power today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. The Bible tells us that man should pray always. Father, we thank you right now for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, for all that you have done, for all that you are going to do. Lord God, we honor you today for your presence. We honor you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, for giving us the activity of our limbs. Lord Jesus, in allowing us to think of your goodness, for it's your goodness that led us to repentance. It's your goodness that woke us up this morning. It's your goodness that has us praying and seeking you, not just for ourselves, Lord, but there are those that are sick, those that are in the hospital today that would be in service. Lord God, bless them. Touch them. Touch their bodies. Touch their minds. Touch their doctors, Lord. Bless the doctors and nurses, Lord God, attending to them to know what the condition is so that they can be healed. Lord, let the prayer of faith, Lord God, touch them, Lord, and raise them up in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we'll be careful to give your name praise and glory. Lord, now remember the unspoken requests, Lord. Touch, Lord God, each one. You know them name by name. Lord God, and you know the intent, Lord. Lord, bless, Lord God, and bring it to pass. Lord, that your goodness be magnified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading from our opening scripture, and then we'll be back into the hands of our psalmist this morning. The psalmist says, in the 63rd chapter, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul trusts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a day and thirsty land, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so I have seen in thy sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadows of thy wing will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. The Lord bless the reading of his word. That is Psalm 63, verse 1 through 8. Amen.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Everything I need.
Thank you. To bless the Lord. Amen. But God is yet good and is yet worthy of praise. I don't know, maybe you might have been challenged with some things today, or maybe throughout this week. But don't ever lose focus that God is good. In spite of, He is still worthy of our songs. He is yet worthy of praise, glory, and honor coming from us. You might have tears in your eyes, but God is still worthy to receive praise. You might have a sore throat. You might be sick. God is worthy to be praised. You may have lost something that was valuable to you. God is still worthy to be praised. And so we want to praise the Lord for all that He is doing, all that He is going to do. I'm excited this morning about the Lord because sometimes you look. I heard the prophet say that he looked for the Lord in the fire. He wasn't there. He looked for Him in the storm. He wasn't there. And come to find out, He was a still, small voice. I thank God because I heard a still, small voice this week from one of His daughters, of Zion, that spoke a word. Never been in the environment, never been in, never seen any of the things that she spoke about. But all that she said was true. And I appreciate God for using them. You never know who God is going to use. He may use the person that just down the fifth. He may use someone that's high as a kite. And all of a sudden, the power of God move upon them, and they tell you some things. You don't know. God used an ass, and He used a crow. A rooster. You don't know who God is going to use to send a word your way. But one thing for sure is it's going to line up with the word of God. With whatever is said, is going to fall in place with His will. It's not going to be some abstract. It's not going to be some mess. But it's going to be in accord with the word of God. I want to direct your attention to the scripture this morning, or please open your Bibles or turn your devices on to Matthew's the fifth chapter. God bless each of you that are here. I appreciate the fact and the time that, you know, you have to appreciate when people take time out of their schedules or wake up from whatever they're doing and to come and to join in with you and to be part of what you're doing. Over in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, and I'm not going to be long. The fifth chapter, beginning at the 14th verse, I have a few scriptures here. And it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Luke, the 11th chapter, 33rd verse says, "But no man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a place, a secret place, but under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. John the 8th chapter, in the 12th verse, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Galatians 1 and 24, it says, and they glorify God in me. I'm going to read this again in your hearing. It says, ye are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on a hill. A city that is set on a hill, it can't be hid. You know, you drive across the whatever freeways in your area, if you have hills and you see homes illuminated in the evening and late at night because they have the lights on. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As I looked at this and began to think about what the writer was saying, I looked at the Library of Congress. I looked at the season that we're in right now. You know, this is our holiday season, and again, happy holidays to everyone. And if I don't see you or speak to you, have an opportunity to say it again, have a very Merry Christmas. According to the Library of Congress, the Research Center and Science Reference Services, it says that Thomas Edison was the inventor of the first successful practical light bulb. He created the very first strand of electric lights. During the Christmas season of 1880, strands of lights were strung around the outside of the Menlo Park laboratory. Railroad passengers traveling by the laboratory got their first look at the electric light display. But it wasn't until about 40 years later before the electric Christmas lights became a widespread tradition. In 1895, President Cleveland requested the White House family a tree to be illuminated by multicolored light bulbs, Christmas lights. And in 1923, President Calvin Coolidge began the country celebration of Christmas by lighting the national Christmas tree with about 3,000 electric lights in front on the south of the White House. So as I looked at this and thought about the season we was in, I just wanted to ask that you, as saints, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, that you would turn on the Christmas lights. There's no secret to the beauty of lights. Added to the holidays and celebration, whether it's a birthday or different things, different events, you know, if you've gone to parties and different things, you know, there are lights that are used. And so there's nothing, there's no secret to the beauty of lights and what lights does to an environment. A major problem that we face today is one of the weapons that is used, such as a blackout or a graphite bomb or the electric magnetic pulse weapon that turns off the electricity, puts everything back into what they say the Dark Ages. Things would have to be restored. And so not only is this a weapon for the day, but these weapons have been tested and used and remain as a threat even in this day and time. And so the Americans, Europeans, and Russians and Asian communities are at risk. But they're not the only one. So is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is under attack too. The Bible tells us from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Knowledge existed. However, the knowledge that was existing was covered by darkness. Until God said, let the light appear. When the light appeared, darkness had to leave immediately. Each one of us have a choice to make, whether we would walk in the light or that when the light appears, that we will leave with the darkness. Solomon, King Solomon, testified with these words. He said, I saw the wisdom, that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. I hope that you feel that way today, that wisdom is better than folly, and that light is better than darkness. The Bible said that men, that there's a reason that people like darkness, is said because their deeds are wicked. And so people want to remain in a dark state, or a state of denial that they don't understand, or you know, that they can push it away or anything, rather than accepting the light. But there is light even where there's darkness. If there was no light, you wouldn't be able to identify the darkness. And so when King Solomon said that, you know, I looked around and I thought about it. From his personal experience and observation and things that he had from day to day, he said, you know, wisdom is better than folly. If we can just make sure that we ourselves as adults, as men and women, and you know, that we ourselves apply that same wisdom and apply that same principle, and that we hand it down to our children, you know, we'll all be much better off. That the light is better than darkness. And so when God turned on the light, he looked at it, and he said it was good. He gave praise unto the light, and all that the light was revealing, and all that could be done with light. And the scripture doesn't go into all of those areas, but I think that you can look at light itself and think about how great it is to walk in the light. That you can look at the light, and you know, when you, just in the natural, that the light, when the lights are on, you feel much better. When the lights are gone, you don't walk into things. You're able to see things a lot better, a lot clearer. There is a better understanding. When we're thinking about things to do or a project or something on our mind, and we get it, then we say the light came on. You know, they draw the light bulb over the character's head. You know, that they get it now. The light is on. So when we get the light, when the light is on, we can say it's good. In our opening scripture, the Lord reiterates a very important message to the body of believers, those that will be an extension of the ministry. He lets them know that you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, and you can be hid. When the light is on, you cannot hide. I've been in a store, I've been in a mall with people, and someone walked up to one of the saints and said, you're saved, because they saw the illumination. They saw the anointing. They saw the power of God resting upon the individual. Someone else looked over across the church at one of the mothers and saw an illuminating light about them. It was the Shekinah glory. The power of God was resting upon them. And they could not hide it. They themselves didn't even know that the power of God was resting on them like that. Bless you, Lord God. And so you want the power of God. The Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. God has lifted us up. The songwriter said, I went to a meeting one night and my heart was not right. Someone said, I stepped in the water, and the water, my life was changed. I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new, and I looked at my feet, and they did too. Someone else said, I went to a meeting one night, and the Lord changed my life. He stood me up and turned me around and set my feet on solid ground. There was a change in my life. The light had come on, and I could, someone said, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see better now. I can see the sky is much clearer, and I understand things a little better. The purpose of the light is to give unto all of those that are in the house, all of those that come into your presence, all of those that walk into the area that you're in. There should be a type of illumination that there is something that is different. There is something. And, you know, I enjoy the fact that when there's more than one that come together, then that's illuminated, then the light is going to be much brighter. There's a difference when you have one light bulb on a string of light compared to many. And so when you go into the house and you go into the body of believers, there is a greater illumination. He said, with this command, he said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, bless you, Lord God. We have to let, and we have to allow men to see the light. We cover the light sometimes. Sometimes we hide the light. Sometimes we move the light. We turn the light depending on where we're trying to go or what we're trying to do. But there's a danger in that. You don't want to just turn it off. You want it to remain on. Somebody needs the light. Somebody needs to see their way through. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, somebody is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and at that moment, they may not see the light at the end of the tunnel because you're the light. And when they see you, then they can see their way. When they see you, then there's a better understanding. Because see, you'll come along and you'll say, I've been there, I've done that. You'll come along and say, you know, I've been through that. I remember it wasn't that long ago that what you're dealing with, I dealt with it too. And no, it didn't feel good, but here I am today to tell you that God brought me through that, and he can bring you through it too. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Bless you, Lord. The writer, the scriptures goes on to say, no man, when he light a candle, he put it in a secret place. We're not hiding the secret, neither under a bush, but a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Someone has to see the light. Then Jesus spake again and said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me. When you're following after Christ, I'm not just talking about believing in Christ. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. But I'm talking about those that are following after Jesus. Those that are in his word. Those that are absorbing the word of God. Those that are looking at the commandments of the Lord. Those that are saying, I'm not going to do that because it's going to offend God. And so I'm going to line myself up and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ so that I am not walking in darkness, but that I'm walking in the light. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Galatians, and he questioned their reluctance to leave the light on. Bless you, Lord. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of our Christ, unto another gospel. Somebody had changed and stopped doing it the way that Jesus said to do it. Someone had changed their mind and went a different direction. Someone said, it don't take all of that. And they began to tone it down a little bit. I don't know all that they were doing, but one thing for sure is that they were not listening and following after the gospel that had been delivered unto them. He reminds them of the mess that he made of the church when he walked in darkness. There's no good that's going to come through the walk of darkness. As you heard the psalmist say, that he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he had to remind himself, don't fear, because there are things that go creep in the night. There are things that lurk in darkness. There are things that go on. The thieves are waiting in darkness. Catastrophe, mayhem is waiting in darkness. There's nothing good in darkness. That's why the Lord said, let there be light. But he heard of my conversation, that he was, in a time past, a Jew of the Most High religion, and how that beyond measure he persecuted the church and he wasted it. He messed it up out of ignorance. He messed it up because he didn't have the truth. He messed it up because what he thought was true was wrong. He messed it up. He made havoc of the church. And now he's writing to them to help them understand that God has shown him the light, that he lived a lie, but now he is in the truth. He testified and said that afterwards he went down into the region of Syria and Cilicia. And he stayed there for a while trying to understand this thing. God messed him up. When God knocked him off his beast, God knocked the mess out of him. God knocked the darkness out of him. Let him know and help him to understand that, that's not a place where you want to be. You don't want to abide in darkness as you've done before. But God knocked him down, and he shook up all the men that was around him. But the Bible said there was a bright light that appeared. And the apostle said, at that time, Saul asked, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Lord. I'm the one that you're kicking against the prick. I'm the one that you're persecuting. You thought you were persecuting that individual over there. You thought you was messing with that church mother. You thought you was messing with that brother, that babe. You thought you was messing with that new believer. But I'm here today to tell you that you were messing with me. When you mess with one of them, you mess with me. Oh, I need you to understand this today. I need you to allow the light to shine in your heart. I need you to allow the brightness that you see to become the leading force in your life. Bless you, Lord God." The Apostle Paul, he was all messed up. The Bible said that he had to be led back to Damascus. He had to be led back to a place where, because the light was so bright, and he needed to be led back and to receive prayer. Somebody needs to receive prayer. But they can't pray because they out of fear. The Bible told us, I believe it was Ananias, you Bible students, you can help me out and you can correct me if you like. But I believe that the disciples said, "Wait a minute, this is the one that used to persecute the church. This is the one that was making a havoc of things, and we all was running and hiding from him." And oh, bless your Lord God, we are scared of this man. The Lord told him, said, "Look here, I have, there are many souls that this man is going to reach out, and he's going to go through some things, but he'll be able to do it because the light is on. He'll be able to withstand because the light is on. He'll be able to accomplish the goal that I have in him because the light is on." So I need you to pray for them. There's somebody that needs some prayer. There's somebody that needs to know him, and it won't happen if we don't have the lights on. Bless you, Lord God. The apostle goes on, he said, "Look here." He said, "I was unknown by face unto the church of Judea. When I came back and I began to miss, nobody knew me. Nobody had ever seen me. They had only heard about me. And now they heard that I used to persecute the church. I used to mess things up. I used to do it. But now I'm preaching the gospel. Now the one that used to cause us to hide, the one that caused fear in our lives, the one that we had to be so scared of, we had to be secretive in our meetings, he's now part of us. He's now preaching the gospel, and the one that used to destroy us, he's now the light. Something has happened. Bless you, Lord God. God did a work in his life, and now the man is illuminated by the power of God. Oh, bless you, Lord God. And so now he's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. The Bible said they had not seen Paul, therefore they didn't know what he looked like. They only knew the lights had been turned on. And so when they met him, have you ever met somebody else? And just like I mentioned earlier, that someone has walked up to one of the backsliders, walked up to one of the saints and said, "I know God is with you." Or somebody that's unsaved walked up and said, "I know God is with you." But what about when you see the power of God from somebody that's of another fellowship, somebody you've never met before, and you see that they are a believer? season. You listen to what they say. You listen to how they talk. And all of a sudden, everything begins to click and come together. And you understand that they believe also. Bless you, Lord God. They only knew him because the light was on. That's why I asked the question. And that's why I said, well, somebody please turn on the light. Somebody please turn on the Christmas light. We're in this holiday season that we need an illumination of lights to be turned on. We need Christ illuminated. We need the Messiah illuminated. We need the Christmas light turned on. Somebody give their light. Somebody give me. Place the bug. They stop praying, but I'm asking for prayer again today. Somebody stop reading the Bible, but I'm asking to read your Bible again today. Somebody miss the service or but go back to church. Bless your Lord God. Turn the Christmas light back on so that somebody can see the beauty of God. Somebody can see that he's real. Somebody can see and understand. Let me slow down here. Bless your Lord God. The Apostle Paul, he said that they didn't know me, but just bear with me in my folly, that they saw the Christmas light had been turned on. They said the one that used to preach, that used to persecute the church, is now preaching the gospel. He's singing a new tune. I don't know what his message was. I know what he wrote about. But in between the writing, he might have been saying joy to the world. The Lord has come. He might have been saying good news and glad tidings. He sung a cheerful tune, a joyous tune, a jolly and holly tune. He might have been saying merry Christmas himself. Hallelujah, Lord. He might have said, I'm happy. I've met Christ Jesus. Where'd you get that from? Well, the Bible said, they glorified God in him. He was a light that has been lit. He was a light that has been illuminated. God has lit him up. He wasn't placed in a closet. He wasn't under a bush. He wasn't hidden. But he stood big and strong to say, look at what God has done. I heard him right over in Corinthians. He said, the God of this world, he blindeth the mind of them that choose not to believe, so that the light of glory, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine unto them. But the day came, he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, is our Savior. He said, for God, command the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts and give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I've been illuminated, I've been enlightened. Somebody, keep the lights on, turn to the light, keep the lights on, don't let nobody short-circuit you, don't let nobody mess you up, don't let nobody turn you off, don't let nobody change your mind, but keep the lights on, somebody's looking, they need a light pop, somebody's looking, they need a watch pop, somebody's looking, they need the illumination so that they can drive the ship in. They can land the airplane. They can go around the curve. They can see clearly. Bless you, Lord God. They need the light on. So when they pass by your house, they see you no Lord. I can feel comfortable walking up to a house and knocking on the door when the light is on. But when it's dark, in broken darkness, you don't know what's there. But please turn the light on. Please leave it on. Don't turn it off. Don't let the enemy stop you from illuminating somebody's path. Come on and give God some praise. Bless the Lord God. My God.
we got to keep the lights on. We got to keep the lights on. So when you see somebody, they ask them, have you turned on your Christmas lights? And, you know, if you have, go ahead and turn them on. It's all right. It's all right. Turn on the Christmas lights. Let there be some light. Let there be some Mary, Jerry, some, oh, bless the Lord God. Let it be some joy. This is a joyful time. Because the Lord has come. And he's came to turn the lights on. I believe that's what the word of God said. He said that the light is of me. The light's of me. So because the light is of me, my God, then I want to be of him. That's the only way the light can be on and stay on, is that I remain in him. Bless the Lord. I'm not done, but I'm done. My God. I pray that something has been said. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you, Lord. Matter of fact, I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you, Jesus. My God. We're going to pray, and afterwards, I don't know if there's a prayer request or any needs that need to be there in their heart. Bless the Lord. But Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for turning the light on in my life. Thank you for turning the light on the life of those that invited me to serve so many years ago. Lord, I bless you, Lord God, for each one, Lord God, that the light is yet shining. Lord God, thank you, Savior. Lord, continue to bless, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be careful in your name, praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Now, for some that don't know, you know, I look back over life and I thank God for what he's done for me, because I know what it's like to smoke angel dust. I know what it's like to smoke crack cocaine. I know what it's like to smoke weed, to sell it and all of that. But I also know what it's like to leave those things and to follow after Christ. And that's the most important thing. I just mentioned another thing so that you know that there's a lot more to this individual than you've heard. God had to deliver me from some things. God had to bring me out. And God had to spare my life. Because something was slipped into what I was smoking one time that could have taken me out. But God was good. God was very good. And so for that, I am grateful. When I look back over my life, and I look back at what God has done and what he will do, there's no greater joy than to proclaim his word and to let you know, and to let others know that God is able. Not only is he able, but he's willing. And that's the thing, because he said, I will that no man should perish, but I also come to everlasting life. Bless the Lord. Amen. And so we're going to continue to proclaim and to preach the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, and to reach out to others so that souls can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.